Good morning. How's everyone doing? You guys look very alive. I'm loving it. I am so happy to be here. My name is Andy Andrew, and I'm part of the team here. And it's so good to be with you this morning. And before I get into the word, I want to tell you one thing. If you have been new or visiting Seacoast for a little while, and you are wondering if this is your church home, today, across all of our campuses, we have Next Steps. And we would love for you to join us after this service to find out more about who we are, our discipleship, how you can serve. And so we just want to welcome you to come along to Next Steps after this. But oh my gosh, you guys, it's been a month since I have seen you all. I have been overseas for a month and I miss you. And it's so good to be home, but I have some fun updates. Can I share some fun updates with you? So, you know, our family took a little vacation, little trip at the end of May, beginning of June, and my eldest son, Ezekiel Benjamin, got engaged to the beautiful Crystal Mia. Would you like to see a picture? They got engaged! Oh my gosh, you guys, look at them. Yes, in Paris, it was wild. So our families emerged upon Paris. He took her up to the top of the Eiffel Tower on their 6-year anniversary, high school sweethearts, since they were 14 years old. I know they look like they're 15, but they are turning 21. And they're getting married this fall because it's been 6 years. So we're like, get it, get married. And we are so excited. And I'm so proud of you two and how you've loved Jesus and loved one another and done it so well over these last 6 years. So we're so excited to celebrate them. And then we went on vacation, came back for 2 days, and my daughter and I packed our bags, and we traveled to Kenya to go on a custom mission trip, and it was phenomenal. And I have to say, some of the team are in this service today, and I've missed you all so much. We've got some of our custom mission team. And if you're wondering what custom is, that's our youth ministry. And so we took a group of young people overseas to Kenya. We were working with the Maasai and Turkana tribes. They are shepherding tribes. And this is the team. This was the day that we helped them build a Maasai Manyatta, which is the homes that the women build, with sticks and mud. And the mud, just so y'all know, it's manure and ash and gravel, and they mix it together with water. So that was fun. We wore gloves, don't worry. Slapped it on the walls. And we got to do a summer camp with the youth, and some of these guys preached the most amazing messages and danced with and loved on these young people. And what we learned, I mean, do you ever feel like when you go on mission, more than serving, you receive so much? They're like, I learned, we all learned so much. And these people are so beautiful. One of my favorite things that I learned while we were there with the Maasai people is their dependence upon one another and on God. And it just showed me how much we become independent, even in our faith. We become independent in our lives. And it was such a gift to receive from them. So I just wanted to share that with you. A lot of fun things. But I want to pray and get straight into the word this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. I ask that this morning, as the word goes forth, that you will speak spirit to spirit, that it'll go past our flesh, it'll drop from our heads to our hearts, and we will have revelation and understand what Jesus was saying to his people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, have you ever had one of those Sundays, and I know we all have, because I have, where you bring a friend to church, right? And you're so excited. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to bring my friend to church. And then you get in there and it's the pastor that you hoped it wouldn't be that's speaking. I hope that's not you today, but if it is, I apologize. Here I am. Or have you ever had one of those moments too where you're like pumped? You're like, oh my gosh, this message is so good. And then they say something, you're like, wow, that was awkward and very weird. And now I'm gonna have to explain that at lunch if they even come to lunch with me or ever come back, right? Oh, those moments are so hard. And we've all been there. And I think it's so interesting that in this part of scripture that we're talking about today in John chapter 6, yes, we are still in John chapter 6. I don't know if this is the last week or not, but But I want to say this is one of those moments in the synagogue where I believe that Jesus' disciples were like, we are so excited to bring our friends to the synagogue today. Why? Because Jesus was absolutely peaking. I mean, he had fed the 5,000 with all of this bread, and they were about to make him king by force because he was feeding their physical bodies. It's like, he will take care of our hunger issues. We want Jesus to be our king. So this guy, the guy that was popular, just like that 40-year-old goalie, you know, that now has like 18 million followers, that was Jesus. Everyone's like, I love this guy. So they were in synagogue and Jesus was speaking. He starts talking about the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Don't you understand? I fed your bellies. Manna only feeds your bellies. I am the bread of life. You know what? That's kind of palatable, right? Bread. Everyone likes bread. I love bread. Sourdough bread. My mom made that bread. You know, bread is good. But then Jesus says something where they're like, time out. I really don't like what you just said, Jesus, and I'm not sure what to do with it. Have we been there before? I think we've all been there before. I know Pastor Josh last week talked about the scripture. He said they were all offended and walked away. Pastor Josh got to take that part. Guess what I get to preach today? The offensive scripture. So let's go straight into it. We are gonna read John 6, 51 through 59 here in a moment. I want to share this with you, though. This is what's interesting. We have to understand, even for us now. He said something totally offensive to the Jewish audience at the time. And without seeing past the flesh and into the spirit, it was a very hard pill to swallow. But even for us right now, it's pretty hard to understand Jesus' intense words without the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of things that cannot be understood without the Spirit of God. And there are things that I am praying even today that will drop from our head to our heart so that we can truly walk in it. And this passage that we're about to read in John is a turning point moment for the disciples. It's a turning point moment because some of them, it drew them even deeper with Jesus. They said, to whom else would we go? I mean, Jesus, what you just said is hard to understand, but who else would we go to? You have the very words of life. And then others were like, this is offensive and it is too hard to live. And they walked away. So that's where we are today. John 6, 51 through 59. He said this, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. At that, the Jews argued amongst themselves. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And at that, the Jews began to argue, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Can you imagine being in church if something was preached up here and then you all started to argue? That's what synagogue was like. They're like, raw, like time out. We have questions. So Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. Can you imagine? Like, the disciples are like, wow, I literally brought my friend today and I don't understand why you are saying this. What kind of following are you trying to garner? We do not understand. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day because my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the manna your ancestors ate and they died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was in the synagogue in Capernaum. I mean, just put yourself in their shoes for a moment. Even maybe some of us today, you're like, you know, I've read the whole Bible, but I think I blacked out that part where he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Or maybe this is one of your favorite passages of scripture that you love to dive into. Or maybe you're hearing it for the first time today. Let me be clear theologically, Jesus was not inviting them into cannibalism. I just need to say that right at the start. He was inviting them into complete and total dependence on him. He was offering what he was offending their flesh and he was speaking to their spirit. The crowd wanted bread and Jesus was offering himself completely. Because manna, what did it do? It fed their flesh and it kept their physical bodies alive with nourishment. But receiving all of Jesus, causes us to walk in and live in eternal life. Why? Because Jesus is not just a part of our life. He is our very life. He is life itself. And the gospel, it is not Jesus improving our lives. The gospel is Christ becoming our life. Because Jesus is not a Sunday side dish to the food that we consume Monday through Saturday, is he? He is not a Sunday side dish. But so often, and I find myself doing this too, so often, who are we like? We're just like the disciples who chased Jesus only because they wanted him as king so that they could get what they wanted from him, so they could get physical bread. You know, here's the deal. Jesus is not a vending machine, and I think we know that. But we wake up in the morning sometimes like, Jesus, I'm here. You're welcome. Quiet time. Boop, 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 boop. Put the money in. Can I have what I want now, Jesus? Now, scripture is clear. Ask, seek, knock. We can come to him. He wants to meet our needs. It's actually in the Lord's Prayer. He will meet our daily needs as we cry out to him, and we can ask. But here's the deal. He is not just here to meet our physical needs because he is actually all that we need. And I think that many of us have never had to live in such a way to find out how true that really is. Because we are so blessed and we have so much, and I am so grateful that we do. But to live in such a way where we truly know Jesus, you plus nothing is actually everything. I think many of us know Jesus even intellectually. We know through his word who he is, but we feed on everything else. Spiritually and emotionally. Where are my people at? It's what we do. We're human. We feed our flesh. We feed on our phones. And we live in this other world without being present to the world that Jesus has created us to live in and be present in. We feed on the approval of others. And we care so much about the fear of man and their opinions. It's like, do you love me? Do you see me? Do you care about me? Do you think I am good enough? When we have complete and access to the words that are very life itself. We feed on anything that gives us comfort while ignoring the discomforts of our calling. Or I know this, many of us do this, I do this, knowingly or unknowingly, we feed on pride saying, God, I've got it. I have got all of these works that I'm gonna do for you so I can be good enough to earn my salvation when we do not and cannot earn our salvation. We can even consume Christian content all week and still be spiritually starving because we are missing the one thing that truly matters, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. You know, I mean, we don't eat just one meal a week. Is there anyone in here? You're like, I am. I'm a one meal a weeker. Where's my people? No, we don't just eat one meal a week and like, that was good. Thank you for my weekly bread, Jesus. You are my weekly bread. Just 1 week a day I eat you. No, that's not the song. If you don't know the song, it's called Daily Bread. Look it up. We don't just eat one meal a week, just like Sunday is not enough spiritual food for a whole week, is it? This is not enough spiritual food for a whole week. And someone else eating daily doesn't feed us either. Meaning, you know, well, but Pastor Josh said, or Pastor Adam said, or Pastor Joel said, no. I'm gonna say something kind of, I don't think it's controversial. I think it's just true. It's that it's not a shepherd's job to feed us. Okay, let me tell you something. When I was in Kenya, it's a shepherding culture. And the shepherds did not force food into the mouths of their sheep. They shepherded the sheep to a pasture and said, eat. So every Sunday when you come to church and a shepherd is just shepherding to a piece of scripture, this is my prayer, that you will go, I've got to read John 6 again because I do not understand what is happening in context of everything. I've got to go and feed myself. And maybe, just maybe, not any of you in this room, but you've heard someone say the words, you know, I'm just not getting fed at Seacoast Church. It's kind of embarrassing to admit as an adult you can't feed yourself, right? Happy 4th of July. Boo, boo, boo. But seriously, our spiritual fridges and pantries are completely full. And yet we stand at them, we're like, it's too hard. Someone else, feed me. Remember, you have complete and total access. What does Jesus do? He stands at the door and he knocks. When someone knocks at your door, before you had a Ring camera, you could decide if you wanted to answer it or not. If someone knocked at the door, what do? You go and open the door and you either receive what was been given or you tell them to go away. Depends on who's knocking. But Jesus stands at the door and knocks at every part, every moment of our day, and we can receive him fully and completely. And you know, in essence, when Jesus was saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood, he's saying, unless you have all of me, you have none of me. You have all of me. I am your very substance. This ring that I wear, this right now, it signifies that I am married to the very amazing and handsome Paul William Andrew. This is what it says. We were married in 2002, early 2000s. Oh yeah, we're about to hit 24 years. Would you like to see our sepia-toned wedding picture? Remember sepia? Everything was sepia. I don't understand. But we got married in 2002, and this is us. Oh yeah, as little children. And you know, it's been a marriage full of adventure these last 24 years. Very high highs, extremely low lows, and very mundane plateaus. There's my rhyme and my poetry for this morning. But I look at my children, my four beautiful children, and they are the fruit of our love and our oneness. And we have countless stories of daily choosing one another. But here's the deal, even this ring can become performative if I'm not careful in my marriage. I can wear a wedding ring and not intentionally cultivate intimacy with my husband. I can withhold, I can put up walls, I cannot talk to him, but I can still wear the wedding ring. I can know a lot of facts about my husband and tell you anything you want to know about him, where he was born, what he loves to do, without seeking to understand what makes him tick, who he is, how God made him, so I can love him like God does. I can even post pictures on social media, happy marriage, yeah, and then go home and not live that way. Thank God we choose not to. But there are a lot of choices we make behind the scenes to cultivate our marriage and our oneness. And we make time for one another. We choose each other daily when the drift can easily happen. We have porch time daily after work when he gets home, and we sit out there and just take time to reconnect on what each other's day was like. We go on date nights and we go on trips together. We talk or we voice memo each other when we're both working out of town to make sure that we stay connected and communicate every day. And we choose to talk about the hard things, the difficult things, the painful things without wounding one another so we can see reconciliation. We choose to take ownership of our part of the oneness. We choose to lay down our pride and actually depend on one another. And we choose to submit ourselves to one another daily by apologizing and forgiving and repenting and laughing and having fun to keep changing and forming more and more into the likeness of Christ. And here's the deal. I don't stay married because I'm wearing a wedding ring. I stay married because my husband and I are both investing in our marriage and in our relationship. And I think without intention, every single one of us can become routine in our marriage instead of practicing daily oneness, and it is the same in our relationship with Jesus. We can be fooled that Sundays are enough for us when he is our daily bread. He is our very life. So, what are some ways, just really quickly, that we can practice oneness with Jesus? Because you may be going, gosh, I have like kind of stepped back on engaging in and practicing that oneness. Well, I want to encourage you in a couple of things. Maybe one of these will stick. Maybe you're already practicing this, but try just setting your alarm 30 minutes earlier, having the coffee ready to go, and making room to read scripture and talk to God. Or maybe go to bed 30 minutes earlier and don't look at your phone, just read scripture and go to sleep. We could also, there's so many things you can do. You can turn on worship in the morning as you get ready and sing your heart out. You can binge the word instead of Netflix. And maybe you're going, but what do I read? You know, a lot of times with my kids when they're first starting out, I'm like, hey, we've got 31 days in this month. Read a proverb a day and you'll read a whole book within a month. And start in Proverbs, it'll give you wisdom. And I think one of the biggest things is when we read scripture, we need to be in a place of submission and posture towards God where it's like, you can love me and correct me through your word. And I think these are just daily ways we can practice our oneness. I mean, I live in this household full of growing, bulking young men. I'm like, why are we all bulking at the same time? It's very expensive, right? And we're constantly refilling the fridge and the pantry. And they know when they're physically hungry. And I think many of us, we know when we're physically hungry, right? You're already planning what you're gonna eat after this. You're trying to not think about it. But food is good for the body. We love it. But the truth is a lot of times we are unaware when we are spiritually hungry and starving. And so my hope is that we will be awakened to when we are truly spiritually hungry. The key to this whole passage here is in John 6:63. And this is when Jesus says, listen, the Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. So this is just something I want us to understand. When Jesus talks about eating and drinking, he is fashioning an image that those in the synagogue would understand. Eating and drinking is something we all do. So right away, when you hear something, you make meaning out of it, right? Humans are meaning makers, meaning you're hearing the words coming in right now, you're attaching meaning to them. And in this moment, what Jesus is saying, I know I'm saying eat my flesh and drink my blood, but I need you to go straight to the meaning of what I'm saying. I'm not telling you eat my flesh and drink my blood. I am saying I am your very substance that will sustain you. I am life itself. You have to receive all of me. Go to the meaning straight away. Jesus is saying when we consume his substance, we take in his reality, and this is how we have eternal life. Hebrews 4 tells us the word is alive. This is alive, it's not dead, this is alive. And then in John 1, we see that Jesus was the word that was made flesh. So Jesus is the word that was made flesh. And then we see in Romans 8, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is alive and at work within us. So meaning the Spirit and the Word, when they move together, we don't understand this passage as a fleshly thing, but a spiritual thing, because Jesus is talking about the substance of who he is. The Word and the Spirit, when we read them together, when we put them together, we receive the substance of Christ. When we commune with his Spirit and treasure his words, the transformation sets in. So when we take in his word by his Spirit, we take in and we walk in eternal life. Amen? Dallas Willard says this. He says, if we labor for the meat that perishes, we will perish with it. If we labor for the meat that perishes, we will perish with it. You know, communion is a covenant-keeping meal. And every week in our response time, at the end of this message, we'll sing a couple more songs. And one of the things that we do in response time is we receive communion. We receive the bread, the body of Jesus that was broken for our healing and wholeness in our body, for our wounds. He was completely wounded for our healing. We receive the bread for that, and we receive the cup. We receive his blood that was spilled for the forgiveness of our sins. Who is so grateful that our sins are forgiven this morning? Anyone? I am so grateful. And I want to say this, communion is not routine. It is active participation in oneness. Communion is not routine, it is active participation in oneness. We participate, we proclaim, and then we go out and we live as one by the word and the Spirit, and we declare the kingdom of heaven until he returns for his bride. That is what we do. And one way we can live John chapter 6 is to receive communion. Now the truth in this room, I know that there are many views on what is happening during communion, and I don't have time today to theologically dive down deep into those things. Some of us take it very seriously, and others also see it as more of a memorial service. But I will say this again, no matter your view on communion, is that Jesus is our very life. He is our substance. So when what we do each Sunday during response time, when we receive communion, it's not routine, it is holy. It is holy. And I pray that we do not grow familiar with the holiness of the God we get to respond to in response time. And in communion, there are a few things I wanna touch on, is we participate in oneness as we receive communion. We participate in oneness as we receive communion. And we are invited to participate and acknowledge our oneness with Christ daily, not just here on Sunday, but as we walk out those doors, we remember we are one with you. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you have done for us. And the other thing is this, is we remember what he did for us. I'm about to read you a passage in 1 Corinthians 11, and Paul was correcting a lot of theology to the church in Corinth. And one of them had to do around the way that they were taking their meals and eating and really receiving communion, the Lord's Supper, in vain. And so he was reminding them what to do. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper and he said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Just sit with that for a moment. "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That alone is powerful. But the word remembrance here, it's really beautiful to dig down on what it means. In Greek, it's the word anamnesis, which is translating the Hebrew word zikaron, meaning memorial or remembrance, which is tied to covenant-keeping worship. It's not performative. It's covenant-keeping worship. It refers to an active, present tense participation in a past saving event. We participate as we receive communion in the ongoing reality of Christ's once and for all sacrifice for us when he died. So, as you receive communion today, biblical remembrance isn't simply looking backward. It is entering afresh into the reality of what God has done so that it shapes our present life. Amen? And the thing is this, is we don't take communion lightly. We receive it with self-examination. This was the other thing the Apostle Paul said. He said this in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29. "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself. In this way, let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So, as we receive communion, we don't just walk up and take it as it's Sunday, I receive communion. No, it's holy. We walk up, we receive it with reverence. We examine our hearts. "Search my heart, O God. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any way offensive in me. Do you need to reconcile anything in me, God? Do I need to forgive anyone or receive forgiveness? Father, thank you. I need healing in my body. I thank you that I receive your broken body. I receive your blood that was spilled for my sins. Speak to me, Lord." Communion should change us as we examine our hearts and lives as we receive it. It is holy. And the last thing is this. We proclaim that Jesus is life. We proclaim that Jesus is life. He is our substance daily. Christ himself, not just communion on Sunday, although like I said, today is holy, communion is holy, but every day with Christ, the substance of who he is holy. He's just not a part of our life. He is life itself. And we get to consume as him as a person in our own lives and then make him known through our lives. So as we bring this to a close, may we never grow familiar with Jesus. Jesus isn't merely the one who saved us. He is the one who continually sustains us. He isn't simply a doorway into life. He is life itself. And he isn't merely the bread that gets us to heaven. He is the bread that sustains us today. May we never grow familiar with his presence. May we never grow familiar with his word. May we never grow familiar with this table. And may we leave today feeding on Christ himself. I want to share one last thought and picture with you. As we were going through this message as a team, one of the guys on the team said, "Have you ever thought about this? Where was the first place that Jesus was laid down when he came to earth as a baby? A feeding trough. He was laid down in a feeding trough, the prophetic image that he is our substance. He is life itself. Amen. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you illuminate the Holy Scripture. Jesus, we thank you that you are the living word that was made flesh. And we thank you that your word is alive and active within us. Today, as we respond to you, respond to your word and your truth, may we not take communion lightly or response time lightly, but let it be weighty as we honor you, as your body, as your bride, in Jesus' name, amen.